Chapter 6. Changes and Opportunities. 3 years quickly passed, and the March family was now preparing for Meg's wedding to Mr. Brooke. Not many changes had taken place within the family over the years, but the biggest change outside of the March house was the end of the war. Meg had spent the time working, as well as growing into a fine young woman. She was excited for her future with Mr. Brooke, which looked bright and promising. After Beth got sick with scarlet fever, Joe never went back to work for Aunt March at Plumfield. She preferred to stay at home with Beth. The old lady also took such a liking to Amy that Amy became Aunt March's companion, as Joe had once been. Aunt March also provided Amy with a drawing teacher, so the young girl could not avoid visits to her aunt's great house. Joe devoted herself to writing and to Beth, who remained in delicate health after the fever had long passed. Never again did she have rosy cheeks or a healthy glow, but she remained hopeful, happy, and busy with the quiet duties that she loved. Laurie had gone off to college to please his grandfather, and although he got into some trouble here and there, he did very well in his studies. Meg eventually packed up things and moved out of the March house and into a small, lovely home with John Brooke. On the day that Meg moved into her new home, Mrs. March asked, "Are you satisfied? Does it seem like home, and do you feel as if you should be happy here?" "Yes, Mother," replied Meg, "perfectly satisfied, thanks to all of you." On the day of Meg's wedding, everyone was flushed with excitement. Meg looked as pretty as a flower, as did all the March sisters. Over the years, each had turned into a beautiful young lady. There was no bridal procession, but a sudden silence fell on the room as Meg and John took their places under the green arch. The service was lovely, and a few tears were shed by the guests. After a tasty lunch and some dancing started by Laurie, it was time for Meg to join John in their new home. The little house was not far away, but still Meg's sisters, mother and father, gathered around her to say goodbye, as if she was going on a long trip. Meg promised to visit everyone every day and said, "Thank you all for my happy wedding day. Goodbye, goodbye." They watched her walk away with Mr. Brooke toward their new home, with faces full of love and hope. And so Meg's married life began. As Meg put her heart and soul into being a devoted wife, Amy put hers into being a devoted artist. She tried various mediums and was always learning and enjoying all that she did. Even if she never became a great artist, she wanted more than anything to be an accomplished woman. Amy was a well-respected young lady, and even though she was very different than her sisters, especially Joe, she never acted better than them. In fact, one day she asked Joe to accompany her on some visits to neighbors. This was an awful activity to Joe, who hated dressing up for people, but being a good sister, she agreed to it. After visiting the Chesters, the Lambs, and the Tudors, all very rich and elegant families, it was finally time to visit Aunt March. Upon arriving at Aunt March's, they found Aunt Carol visiting, too. When Joe and Amy entered, both ladies promptly ended the conversation they were having. Joe was not in a good mood, as she was tired of acting pleasant and proper all day to please rich families. Amy, however, was still in good spirits, and her attitude pleased everyone. One aunt even said to the other, "That child improves every day." "Are you going to help out at the fair, dear?" Aunt Carol asked Amy when everyone sat down for tea. "Yes, Aunt. Mrs. Chester asked me if I would, and I offered to tend a table," replied Amy. "I'm not," put in Joe. "I hate to be patronized, and the Chesters think it's a great favor to allow us to work at their fair." "I am willing to work, and I think it's very kind of the Chesters to let me share the work and the fun," returned Amy. "I like your grateful spirit, my dear. It's a pleasure to help people who appreciate our efforts," said Aunt March, looking over her cup of tea at Joe and then nodding at Aunt Carol. Little did Joe know that her poor attitude was about to cost her several years of pleasure. Both aunts were quietly deciding who should be allowed to go to Europe in the summer, and currently Amy was the favorite. "Do you speak French, dear?" Aunt Carol asked Amy. "Pretty well, thanks to Aunt March," replied Amy, with a grateful look at the old lady. "How are you with languages?" Aunt Carol then asked Jo. "Don't know a word. I'm very stupid about studying, and I can't bear French," was Jo's reply. Jo soon brought the visit to an end, and as they were leaving, Jo shook hands with her aunts, but Amy kissed both on the cheek before they departed. As soon as the sisters had disappeared, Aunt March turned to Aunt Carol and said, "You'd better take Amy to Europe with you, Mary. I'll supply the money." "I certainly will, if her father and mother agree to it." A week later, Amy received her reward for being such an agreeable young woman when a letter arrived from Aunt Carol. Mrs. March's face showed her happiness when she read it. Jo and Beth demanded to know what the good news was. "Aunt Carol is going abroad next month and wants me to go with her," cried Jo, flying out of her chair. "No, dear, I'm sorry, but she wants to take Amy with her," said Mrs. March. "Oh, Mother, she's too young. I've wanted to go for so long." It was true that Jo had hoped to go to Europe with one of her aunts ever since she was Aunt March's companion. However, both aunts had agreed that Amy could broaden her artistic abilities overseas. "I'm afraid it's impossible, Jo. Aunt Carol says Amy. It's not for us to argue when she offers a favor." "It isn't fair," cried Jo passionately. "I'm afraid it's partly your own fault. When Aunt March spoke to me the other day, she said she didn't like your rude manners and too independent spirit. She felt that Amy was better behaved and would gratefully receive any help the trip may give her." Jo was very disappointed, but she tried to be happy for Amy when her sister received the good news. Jo also tried her best to take part in the family celebrations that followed. There was not much time for preparation, and the house was in a state of excitement and confusion until Amy was off on her trip. Jo did her best to compose herself and help Amy get everything ready before her departure. But once Amy had left the house, Jo disappeared into her bedroom and cried until she couldn't cry anymore. So Amy sailed away to Europe, leaving all of her loved ones behind in return for a bright future ahead.